What is a first-generation student? Oxford Languages defines the term first-generation as denoting the first of a generation to become a citizen in a new country, or the first of a generation to be born in a country of parents who had immigrated. As for what makes a student first-generation, Webster Dictionary defines it as... There's no clear definition. So what can we consider for a student to be first generation? The Center for First Generation Student Success defines a first gen student as a student whose parents did not complete a four-year college or university degree. UC Berkeley's Office of Undergraduate Admissions says, being a first generation college student is more than coming from a background where your parents or guardians did not graduate from college. These exceptional students are forging new ground as they venture into the unknown world of higher education. The University of California system reports that 39% of UC undergraduates are first-generation students. As for UC Berkeley, admissions state that, quote, roughly 29% of Berkeley students are first-generation college students. In mine, and many others' eyes, roughly 29% is just, well, roughly okay. That's just above the quarter mark of the whopping 45,307 students that attend Cal, as last reported in the Spring 2023 Cal Facts brochure. That's 13,139 students who fit this margin. The admission statement regarding the providence of first-gen resources to these 13,139 students is by working hard to ensure that these students have the support and resources to thrive as a scholar, as a leader, and as a vital member of the Berkeley campus community. So this all got me thinking about one thing. Do first-gen students really feel this sense of support and resources with their time at Cal? And so, I set out to try and find some of the said 29% of first-generation students and ask them various questions to understand their stance of belonging here. I asked questions regarding their backgrounds, previous educational settings, past and current thoughts of Berkeley, connecting mental health and self-care services, and getting a glimpse of the future and beyond for these students. Join me, Rocco Contreras, as I will guide you through the discoveries in my conversational series, Finding Resilience from First-Generation Students' Perspectives. To open up the series, I kept it local and found a fellow AHS alum also on their first year here at Cal.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yadira Duarte because my father really liked this Mexican actress slash singer named Yadira, and he just decided to name me that. There's no like cultural significance. It's just because he really liked that name.
I asked her five different categories or chapters of questions. Chapter 1 and 2 was her background and past education settings. I started off the conversation with asking her about her race and ethnicity and the discussion regarding the one-dimensionality between the two.
I am from Salinas, California, 2 hours south from UC Berkeley. I am Mexican. I am Mexican-American. Race, unsure of. I don't know. You gotta ask the census. Yeah. I don't really identify as, like, white. I mean, I am Mexican-American. I was born in the U.S., but both my parents were born in Mexico and came here to the U.S., so... I more classify myself as Mexican than American.
I asked about what her household looks like.
With me included, 5 people. We lived in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath for 16 years of my life, and then we barely remodeled it in 2022. So I finally got my own room after 16 years of sharing it with my 2 older sisters. Oh, we have 3 dogs too. 2 of them are mine. They're Princess Luna. And then the other one is my sister's, and his name is Kilo.
Where her parents migrated from.
My mom is from Michoacán, and my dad is from Guanajuato. Never been there. Never been to Mexico, guys. Actually, take that back. I've been once when I was 6 months, but do I remember? No. But my parents are going to be taking everybody to Mexico this winter. Yay. So I'm excited, but I got to get my passport.
And was curious to know about her earlier education.
I went to Barton Elementary School in Salinas. I was there for my entire elementary experience, kindergarten to 6th grade. A very Latino-centric elementary school. Middle school, I mean, Rocco, you know.
We never talk.
I went to El Sausal Middle School for 2 years, 7th and 8th grade. Also, very Latino, heavily Latino-populated. Yeah, I was, like, a very high achiever. The subjects in middle school weren't that hard to comprehend. I was, like, a very fast learner. Cannot say that now, but back then I was. I graduated from Alisa High School, number something in my class, number something. I was up there. I was number 7. I was up there.
Ooh, 7.
Number 7. Lucky number. It was okay. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed college. I think I was more social in high school. I was in more clubs and more involved with, like, schoolwork and making, like, friendships with people. And I'm glad for that because college, no, college has not been it, bro.
She mentioned being involved in high school. So I asked whether she was in any clubs, like engineering and such.
Engineering? No. Thank God. I'm sorry. Sorry to those people. I'm kidding. I was part of Avid. I don't know if I can say it was pretty helpful, to be honest, because that class was just like a fun class. I only took Avid for the, you know, college prep, but I don't even think they prepared me enough for college. Not at all, to be honest.
Advancement via individual determination, or Avid for short, is an in-school academic support program for grades 7 through 12, as stated by the California Department of Education's website. The purpose of Avid is by placing, quote, students in advanced classes, levels the playing field for minority, rural, low-income, and other students without a college-going tradition in their families, and targets students in the academic middle who have the desire to go to college and willingness to work hard, end quote. In your experience, though, Avid wasn't that helpful? How come?
No, Avid, they had like a outline for essays, but it didn't really correlate with me. I didn't really think. I didn't want to be like everyone else in my class and just use the same template. I asked for help by my older sister. Yeah, and during Thanksgiving break, we took 30 hours writing my PIQs because I didn't like how they came out with the template provided by the Avid teacher. College season was so stressful. Junior year was so easy for me, and then senior year came and it was so much harder. And then after I got into college, I honestly just stopped caring about school. I feel like everyone goes through that, right? But even though I stopped caring, I still passed, you know?
We moved forward towards the discussion surrounding her support from family members. She discussed some of the barriers that her older sister, a first-gen student herself, faced when it came to applying for college.
Probably when my sister went to college when I was 8 years old. I don't know, like the idea of college came to mind. I didn't even know what college was before. When my older sister went to college for the very first time in like 2013, they did not want her to leave the house. They wanted her to get her high school diploma and go straight into like a labor job, the fields. Then my uncle convinced them to let her go to college. And then that paved the way for my other sister and I to go to college. And my parents really pressured us to attend a higher institution after high school. So I'm really grateful for them, but it's really hard. Yeah, I don't know how my sister did it.
For clarification, although she's technically the second in her family to go to college, just like her sibling, she's considered first generation. In regards to the question of whether or not a student is still considered first gen, even if other family members, like step-parents or siblings, attended college before them, the University of Minnesota answers yes. Being a first gen student means that your parents did not complete a four-year college or university degree, regardless of other family members' level of education. Older siblings and family members who attend college may be a great resource as you navigate your college journey, which seems like that's been the case with your oldest sibling. Now back to the topic. What was your initial first dream major?
My dream major? Like what I wanted to be?
Yeah.
Like the very first one?
Yeah. What was like, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, we're going back to elementary school, guys. We're back to Barden. Probably a vet. I really wanted to be a vet. I really loved animals. But then I researched, found out that you had to go to like medical school for vets for 10 years or something. I was like, no, I'm not about that life. I don't want to spend 10 years in school. Now I want to be like forensic scientist. Not sure about that anymore, to be honest. Yeah, I'm majoring chemical biology with a minor in Japanese.
Do you see yourself still pursuing that initial dream?
No. I think after the vet, I really wanted to be like a filmmaker because I really loved the process of editing raw media. But then I realized I don't pay well enough to sustain myself in this economy. So I was like, I need a good paying career. And that's why I decided to major in chem bio. And I wanted something fun on the side, so minor in Japanese, as I also like languages. I think I put too much on my plate.
Speaking of pursuing Chapter 3, Berkeley, I then wondered if she had found or been part of any clubs or organizations on campus.
No, clubs, not at all.
No housing theme programs.
No.
Ethnicity buildings. No. Like the Latinx Resource Center. Did you know that they don't even have an official building?
I did know that. I took a Chicano class in summer and he told us that they were moving. They were in a basement that flooded.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
I also asked about her thoughts on there being no permanent location that the Latinx Student Resource Center can call home.
It feels like they're excluding me from Berkeley, I guess. Yeah, Like, I don't feel like I have a place here to ask for help just because, I mean, we don't even have a building, you know? I don't really, like, put the effort to even, like, look for resources because I don't know where to start. I mean, I feel like if we had a building, I feel like I'll be more inclined to going, meeting people that are, like, from Latino backgrounds because I honestly have not met that many Latinos in Berkeley. It feels like I get so excited when I go back to my hometown. Like, when I do talk with, like, people from, like, Latino backgrounds, like my advisor. She is Latina, but I don't know, just the way she treats, I guess, me, like, makes me feel like she doesn't want me to succeed. We are from the same background, and I feel like she should be pushing students from Latino backgrounds to succeed just because we have, like, such little, like, influence here at Berkeley.
The Daily Cal last reported this issue back in September of last year, and there has been no updates to whether or not a permanent location will be made for Latinx students. Did you receive help with enrollment and advising, though?
No, I had to do it all by myself. I didn't even have an advisor for the first semester until, like, the middle. The middle of the first semester was when I got assigned my advisor, and I honestly don't think she's that great. So if you're enrolling in class, guys, you gotta do it yourself. I mean, there's websites, like a schedule, like a class planner, but I don't know. Like, they want me to take, like, 18 units of just STEM classes every semester, and I'm like, no. Honestly, better advisors, but I would, like, suggest, like, workshops where, like, first-gen people that don't have no idea how to navigate college to, like, go and have, like, a step-by-step procedure to follow, you know? So stressful, bro. I'm like, am I gonna get aid for next year, next school year? Like, am I gonna have to drop out or something? I think I filled it out correctly. I don't know. I'll know mid-March, guys, now. It's very hard to do it yourself, but I guess when you have no one, you just have to rely on yourself. That's what I've been doing.
Any tutoring support, at least?
No, I don't even know where they are. And even, like, if I did, like, I would spend, like, 20 minutes looking for the building.
Now, this next question, I hesitated to ask her, or just generally write down. And that's, was Berkeley your first choice?
Definitely not. It was not even my top 10. I think, like, the first three were Ivies, and then the last two were privates. And then it was more privates, and then my UCs. And then my CSUs, and then community college. But I got rejected from all my Ivies and all my favorite privates. I don't know. I feel like with private, I mean, like, now that I'm in public school, I can just see how students are not cared for. Like, we have to navigate this whole journey by ourselves. And I feel like private schools are obviously less students. And I feel like advisors and professors would probably care more. But I don't know. I feel like there are some professors here that actually do care and do want to make an impact. But I haven't met any.
So why Berkeley then?
I got a full ride, so I don't have to pay any money out of pocket. It was close by my hometown, 2 hours away. Even though I didn't have the career I wanted, I assumed I could major in chemical biology and still be a forensic scientist. But I now have to go to grad school for that. And my GPA is not great right now. So that dream is out the window.
As of now.
I don't know. I'm already struggling. It's been 4 weeks to the semester. I visited the campus after I got accepted, and I did like the campus. I like the atmosphere, but it was during the time when there weren't that many students on campus. So I was like, lessly populated. But then, when I came here the first semester, I was like, man, there's 40,000 people here. And that was crazy to me. And that's what makes me feel like I don't have a voice here, just because there's so many people.
Has your first year at Berkeley been everything you thought it would be?
No, not at all. I did the summer bridge program in the summer for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. And that experience was so great. And I just assumed my actual college experience would be the same as my summer bridge experience. And that was not the case. My classes during the summer were very easy. And I didn't have that much homework. And then once I started the semester, I was taking 16 units as a first semester freshman. And it was a lot. It was a lot on my plate, but I managed. I passed my classes. Thank God.
Have you created or started to set up a four-year plan?
No. I don't really like thinking about the future. So I just plan the next semester, the semester I'm on. I have my plan for sophomore year, first semester, but I don't have my plan for anything else.
How can one get support in creating or establishing a proper four-year plan?
Back again. Good advisors, bro. Advisors that actually care about your success, who want you to succeed. You know, nicely lay out the stuff you need to do, you know, not say in a rude way. my advisor. I, like, wish they dedicated a whole day, like, in high school where you just focused on submitting something, like the FAFSA. or planning your yeah, like what we did in high school. But I mean, now it's up to us, I guess. I mean, we are adults. I don't feel like one though.
It's difficult being a college student, and it's really important that one has stable mental health. And that's what Chapter 4 was dedicated to. Yadira, how have you worked on your mental well-being while here at Cal? What do you do to help yourself when under all the pressures?
I don't know. I don't think about it. I push it back. It just, like, once a month, it just comes out, and I have, like, those crying fests where I cry the whole day. But then, I don't know. When I get in the slumps, I start watching things that remind me of home. So, like, La Rosa de Guadalupe, Caso Cerrado. Yeah, just hearing people speak Spanish just makes me at ease, I guess. Because, like, I don't hear it over here that much. Especially on my dorm floor, guys. I do listen to music, but I listen to, like, heavy metal or sad music. And that does not help.
Hey, yeah. It's a way to get the stress out.
Yeah.
Get that anger out. Music really is for the soul.
Yeah, it's scary to join the club here. We gotta like go through the interview process or something. I'm like, no, I'm good.
How has the sense of belonging felt while here? What's a positive and negative to that?
Summer bridge, positive. Actual school year, negative. I have not made, I guess, any real friends except my roommate. And then my high school friends. Not to name the person in front of me. I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I do have class friends, but I don't hang out with them outside of class, and I only talk to them to do homework assignments. Acquaintances.
What are some of the challenges or barriers you faced as of late?
Being able to take the classes I want because my advisor won't approve them. Yeah, not feeling welcomed here, I guess. I don't really socialize with my dorm floor, and I feel like as freshmen, like, that's the one thing everyone should do. But I just don't feel like I belong in their group. I don't really make the effort to make friends in, like, lecture halls. Since my class is literally so big, over, like, 200 people, I feel like there's no point. And then the people, like, there's so many people that already have their own friend groups. Like, the friend groups are formed the first semester. Like, my deadline has already passed. So I just go to lecture, go back to my dorm, and rot. Sometimes go to the I only go to the library before midterms and finals. But overall, I always do my homework in my dorm. And then the weekends, Saturdays are like my free days where I just always go to San Francisco. I look forward to Saturdays a lot.
Although you continue to face these challenges and these obstacles that prevent you from feeling complete here at Cal, who or what's your inspiration to keep going?
My parents. I mean, I guess me too. I guess my dreams do take a part in this too. Honestly, the only thing that's making me still be here is the opportunity to study abroad in Japan. That's like my only goal currently right now. Not graduating. No, I will graduate. I will graduate. Not with honors, but because I'm a STEM major, I can't pursue other career options because if I do, then I'll be, if I would decide to go back to my STEM major, then I'll be very far behind. So I'm stuck with being a chem bio major until I graduate. And that's very sad. I mean, probably my sister. I guess, like, in my mind, I put, like, if she could do it, I can do it. I mean, she definitely was, like, first generation. She was the very first one in our immediate family to go. So I feel like she didn't really have anybody to look up to. And I do. I guess now I have, like, a support group. Her and, like, my uncle who can, like, help me navigate college. This is a very difficult experience.
And that leads us to Chapter 5, the future and beyond. Let's manifest and speak in a future mindset. What do you see yourself doing 10 years from now?
Oh my god, 10 years? I'm going to be 29 in 10 years. That's crazy.
I'm going to be 29 as well.
Oh. Damn, we're going to be old, hitting almost 30. Yeah. I mean, that's not old, but we're going to have some back aches. Hopefully rich. Hopefully with a career I'm actually happy in. I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe I'll go to graduate school. If my GPA allows it. Maybe I'll be in Japan and I'll be an English translator, dude. I don't know. I don't know how life's gonna work out. But as long as I'm happy, I'm gonna be content with life.
Do you see yourself following through in a career involved with forensic science?
I would hope so. I mean, like, there's crime everywhere, right? I don't know. But I don't want to work in the police department. So that's why I'm like, should I really do this career? Yeah, I don't know. Very conflicted with my career choices.
Do you see yourself going back and helping your community out? Do you feel as though you'll bring a large impact back?
If you asked me this question while I was back in my hometown, I would have said no. But now that I'm away from it, now I see why people go back to their hometown. If I went back to Salinas to do my career, I feel like I would not have a good job back there because it's a very low income community. So I feel like if I wanted to make income, I'll have to go to a big city. But if I do go to a big city, then I'll feel very out of place, alienated. I feel like I'll go back for a couple of years just to feel like I'm back at home and then become an adult. Yeah. I mean, if I went back with a career I'm pursuing, I feel like I'll just be targeted. There's very, like, nobody likes police back home, you know? I feel like I wouldn't even be safe back home. So I honestly don't know how I would impact my community in a better way. I mean, what, I've been there 18 years and I never saw any change, and people came and like went, people came back home, they didn't do any change. What am I gonna do? I mean, that's my perspective. I've been there so long. Have you seen any change? I feel like it has gotten better. Like, it's not like, you know, like, I feel like mostly everyone still feels unsafe living in the area we live in. Where I live, where I am at, like, you know, East Salinas, the east side. Like, compare here to Berkeley, there's so many homeless people here. Yeah. So many. So when I go back, like, that's like a shock. I don't see that many homeless people. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing as a society? Please provide free housing. Oh man, bro, I miss home. I go next Friday, so I'm so excited to go back. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to eat Mexican food. Some antoja, bro.
What advice do you have for incoming freshmen, currently seniors, applying for college? What's one thing they should keep in mind with finding success in college?
Don't doubt yourself. Do it. Do it. Do it. Even if it's very lonely, you're going to be grateful that you did this for yourself, like 10 years down the road. Choose a school that you actually want to go to. Choose a good school. Don't choose a school close by home just because you're scared of leaving. Like, leave. Take the risk and better yourself. I feel like as a parent's job, they should push their kid. Oh, this sounds so mean, but be better than them. Like, my mom and my dad do not want me to be, like, working a manual labor. Yeah, sorry, guys. Manual labor job. And then, you know, like, I'm grateful for that because I don't want to gastarme, you know? What's the word? Like, wither away. Yeah. You know, I want to be someone. I want to make money. I want to give back to my parents, you know, buy them their house. Like, every Latino's kid's dream, bro, to give back to their parents. I really want to do that. But if I don't go to college, then who am I going to be? And that's why I'm here. We're literally prodigies, bro. Like, we're from Salinas and we came to UC Berkeley. Even though it's not a private or an Ivy, like, I feel like we did a good job. Yeah, we did a really good job.
Gotta keep going.
Yeah, we can't stop, dude.
Can't stop now.
Yeah, guys.
Number one in the world.
To an extent. To an extent.
I want to give a special thanks to my first guest, Yadira Duarte, for taking the time to answer these questions and having the courage to speak on these topics. I look forward to interviewing and hearing from other incredible first-generation students here at UC Berkeley. From the Daily Cal Multimedia Department, I'm Rocco Contreras. Gracias a todos. Thank you all.